seem to have misplaced our regular chalice. If anyone knows where that is, that's okay. We'll go with this. I found this in the office. This will do. Today we light the chalice in honor of our graduating eighth graders, Aaron Lawrence. I need to know where they are. Aaron Lawrence and Heidi Bosch. There you are. And we want to remind them to savor this time. Try to enjoy it and not wish for the future to come too quickly. A worthy goal is to appreciate each stage of life while you're in it. Originally, we had scheduled a world premiere for this time, but we're flexible. One of the altos in the group won't be able to arrive until later, so we're going to flip-flop this a little. And right now we'll have the song number 16 in the Prairie Songbook. Allison, where are you? Could you tell us what you played this morning for the prelude? Night Grouper. We don't require them to study the Torah for hours, and they don't get a huge party with the DJ and get to invite all their friends. but it is an important occasion. And there are some traditions involved. We usually have some kind of an activity that helps us get to know these students better, and we will do that today. And we usually make them come before the community, stand up here, and either do a reading or play an instrument. And this can be kind of scary for a young person, but I tell them, you're such an easy audience, really. And then we present them with a flaming chalice, which is a symbol of Unitarian Universalism. But before we do all of these things, I asked Reed Miller to do a story for us today. And first he said, well, I could do that, or perhaps we could do one in tandem. And then I said, well, how about in tandem with Nora? And then they couldn't get their schedules together for a little rehearsal, so we are nothing if not flexible. And so today we have Reed, and I don't exactly know who's accompanying him.
Amara Dumlau is going to accompany today. And if there's anyone who'd like to come up a little closer and hear better, we're not going to show pictures, but the pictures will happen in your imagination. Wishing is a tricky thing. Sometimes our wishes come true with results other than what we anticipated. Many of us have wished to be rich and powerful and strong or grown up, only to discover there is no such thing as being grown up. Instead, life, beginning at birth and continuing as long as we live, is a process of perpetually growing up. Experience teaches us this lesson. And so, we have the story of the stone crusher.
Long ago, a young stone crusher named Oliver lived on the side of the great mountain. Every day, he struck the mountain with his hammer and chisel and broke off rocks of exceedingly large size. He pounded these until they broke up into rocks of exceedingly small size. These he loaded onto a cart and rolled down the mountain and across the valley to the city, where there he sold the rocks. This was exceedingly hard work. Even the little rocks are exceedingly heavy. One day, as Oliver was on his way to the city to sell rocks, he passed a beautiful palace of the great king. The king and his queen sat outside playing a game with small ivory blocks. They both looked very proud in their fine clothes. They seemed to have nothing to do all day but sit in the sun and play games. Oliver thought, the king must be the greatest and most powerful person in the world. If I had one wish, I would wish to be a mighty king who rules over men and has a fine palace. I would then sit in the sun every day and play games with my queen.
And at that very moment, his wish came true. King Oliver found himself in a fine garden with a great palace, sitting in the sun and playing a game with his queen. They took turns moving the small ivory blocks. He liked and felt proud of his great wealth and power. Before long, Oliver, the rich and powerful king, began to feel warm from the burning rays of the sun. He grew hotter and hotter. His antiperspirant failed. He was soaked with sweat. Well now, I have just learned something I never knew before. A king is not the mightiest thing in the world. The sun can burn me. So the sun is stronger than I am. If I had one wish, I would wish to be the sun. So the kings would have to suffer from my heat. At that very moment, his wish came true.
Oliver, the burning hot sun, was high up in the sky. He shone his rays down everywhere and made the earth hot. Wherever he saw a chance, he gave a chain of thunder. Sunblock hadn't been invented yet. Now I'm happy. I'm the strongest thing in the whole wide world.
You think you're the strongest thing in the world? Asked a little cloud floating by. I think not.
What can possibly be stronger than me?
I am, and I can prove it. The cloud moved in front of the sun and shaded the earth below. Now you're helpless. I can block the rays, your rays, any time, and you can't burn anyone.
Well then, explain to Steve that a little cloud is stronger than the sun. It must be the strongest thing in the world. If I had one wish, I would wish to be a cloud.
At that very moment, his wish came true. Oliver the Cloud floated lazily in the clear blue sky. I feel great, and I'm so glad I'm so strong. I can even stop the sun from shining on the earth. Now I am the strongest thing there is.
Ho, ho, said the wind. What is that you say?
I am the strongest thing there is. I can stop the sun from shining down on the earth.
You're not the strongest thing there is. You have no legs. You have no wings. You are helpless without me to move you about. I'll prove it. I'll send you to the other end of the sky, and you can't stop me. The wind gave up a mighty puff. Oliver, the fluffy white cub, flew to the far corner of the sky, and there was not a single thing he could do about it.
Oh, how weak I am. The wind is much stronger than I. I'm totally at his mercy. If I had one wish, I would wish I were the wind. At that very moment, his wish came true.
Oliver became the wind. He was wild and free. The whole wide sky was his playground. He spent countless hours blowing clouds about from here to there, and from there to here. Oliver the great and gusty wind blew the trees until they bent over and their leaves trembled. He whistled and moaned around houses and rattled windows. He swept over mighty oceans and made great waves like thunder against rocks. I like this. It's fun. I'm so strong. I can do anything, anything at all. Now I'm the strongest thing in the world.
Are you? Asked a great gray mountain whose sides were made of mighty rock and who stood right in Oliver the Wind's way. You are not the strongest thing in the world.
No, who's stronger than I
am. I can stop you. You may be able to blow down houses or trees, but blow against me as hard and as long as you like, and you'll never be able to move me an inch.
Suddenly, Oliver, the mighty wind, felt very sad, for he knew very well what the mountain said was true. Nothing on earth could move a solid rock. The mountain was surely stronger than the wind. If I had one wish, I would wish to be a great gray mountain of solid rock, said Oliver the wind to himself. Then I would be the strongest of all things.
And at that very moment, his wish came true. Oliver was the mightiest mountain in the entire world. His head was far above the clouds. He could see great oceans and smaller mountains, forests and vast fields and deserts far off. How quiet it was. How peaceful. There was nothing at all to fear. He stood there, strong and brave and proud. Now I am happy at last, for I am the strongest thing in all the great wide world.
His happiness did not last long. One day a tiny figure climbed up the side of Oliver the mountain. The figure was a young man. He took a hammer and a chisel and broke off big pieces of rock from the side of Oliver the mighty mountain. He hammered the big rocks into little ones. Then he loaded a cart and rolled the rocks away to sell in the city at the far end of the valley at Oliver's feet.
How foolish I feel. How clear it is that one young person with a hammer is even stronger than a mighty mountain. I can be broken piece by piece and carried away. If I had but one wish, I would wish to be a stone crusher again. I would never ask for another wish. I would live the rest of my life in happiness. At that very moment, his wish came true. Oliver was a stone crusher again. With his hammer and chisel, he broke large pieces of rock from the mountain. He pounded them into smaller pieces, loaded them into a cart, and rolled them down the mountain. He hummed softly as he worked. He felt proud and pleased. He knew He was the strongest thing in his whole wide world. He knew that life is full of changes and that changes are part of life. And rather than wishing to be something he wasn't, he was strong enough to work with what he was and feel proud of what he achieved. And that is the story of the stone crusher. And a quick special thanks to our sound effects person.
Well, I think there may have been some adaptation in that story. When I recall the original, I don't think there was antiperspirant and sunblock. I asked the parents of Aaron and Heidi to write out some true or false questions, so that we can get to know the students better. So we'll see how well you know them or how good a guesser you are. So if you have a pen, you could use that. Otherwise, we can pass them out. And they should be all around. You can go it alone, or you can form groups of two or three. And whoever gets the best score on this, we have a special honor for them. So I'm going to give you just maybe 5 minutes to do this. Is everybody out there? You all are all out there?
Thank you. True.
False.
False.
This is one that Aaron and I have a two brothers and one sister.
Bathed in volcanic hot springs in Costa Rica.
True.
Yeah, this is a lovely time. Born in Indianapolis.
True.
That's where Aaron was born. Vegetarian.
I to the top of Mount Musilaki.
Sounds true.
It's a hard one to make up. This is true. He lived in New Hampshire for a few years. Vegetarian.
True.
Speaks German.
False.
Canoe down the Amazon.
False.
That's false. I haven't made it there yet. Born in Nashville.
False.
Plays electric guitar.
True.
Collects comic books.
True.
Yeah, please, and tons of that. Okay, thank you.
Did you grade your papers? No comments, right answers. Anybody with 22 that's not a family member? How about 18 or above? Okay. 19? 20? 2 19s, huh?
3?
3 19s? Well, I guess the Schroeder family, come on up! Okay, you just wait. We have something for you to do later. Now, meanwhile, we have the Craig Heidi quiz. So, Richard, want to come up here?
We pruned it down to 24. We took most of the embarrassing ones out. Number one, it played the Good Fairy in Upham Woods talent show. Yeah, I'll take your word for that. One performance of many that I missed. Number two, never had a major illness in her entire life.
False.
She had meningitis when she was very young. Very scary for us, but she turned out okay. Number three, attended Bernie's Place Daycare Center.
True.
Liked the people, hated the food. Four, learned to play solitaire age 5.
True.
False. Trick question, 4. Number 5, has never been on an airplane.
True.
And our first child will be on an airplane. And there's our two pleas about that one. Number 6, answer was false. Number 6, her two front teeth are entirely her own.
False.
Skateboarding accident. Real daredevil on her knees on a skateboard. 7. Plans to be on 3 teams in high school, volleyball, gymnastics, and softball.
True.
We'll see in 4 years how that panned out. Number 8. Has been to Great America every year since she was 3 years old. Very true. She has a sister who's donated for us their birthday present for the kids, so they make the trip every year. I've been twice. Number 9, has a high tolerance for pain.
False.
10, her favorite animal is a koala bear.
True.
Close. False. Panda bear. Close. 11, plan to be an airline pilot as a career. We just threw that one in. Veterinarian, as well, she has to cut something a little bit. Number 12, can do a great cartwheel.
True.
I have about $75 of cartwheel. I'm hoping to see something else. We don't have to place every Monday. We don't. Great cartwheel. 13, our favorite treat is Michael's frozen custard chocolate peanut butter. Definitely true. And we stopped the 2,000. I pick her up and we go right by there. 14, likes to play soccer. False. Hated it. 15, the first one of her friends to be able to swallow pills. False. No, can't do it. Thinks Charlie is cuter than Bailey. Well, it did say originally true, but I can't believe that myself. It's false. They all like it. False. They all like it.
Okay, well, that's the place where we are.
Party of Five. We watch, or they watch, every week. She's the, well, what's my 17th?
You think too fast. You watch
Charlie's,
too.
Charlie's a philanderer, and Bailey's the cute little guy. He's really awesome. 17 has been in the Monona Library over 300 times. Definitely true. Many players, Nora's and Heidi's, and a lot of time at the library in between. 18.19, her favorite Tom Sawyer family.
Small girls.
False, Vermin. Me and Heidi. Has two siblings, one of whom is adopted.
Now wait. We have to have Barb Park explain this one. Go ahead, you explain that one.
Okay, I think I can get this right. Nora, right? Firmly believes that she does not match the family. But she's not.
Adopted Ellis wouldn't get birth. It's when Nora's going. Right? 21, sometimes nicknamed Spike.
True.
I did that to her. still occasionally call her. No, she just looked mean. No, I she looked like this Spike. 22, has 15 first cousins, 3 who live in Madison. False. Actually, when it was written, it was 15, but it's now 16. It was a partial truth before. 23, it explodes in the 1970s. Lots of coming back, I hear. 24 was never baptized. False. We have a strange mother-in-law. We can do this on our own. This was new to me, so. So, anybody get them all right? 22, 21. All right, we got a winner.
I have to add that I gave my mother permission to do that. She was there when I had Heidi, and I said, you know, I'm not going to have her baptized, Mom. I said, but if you want to do it, go ahead. And so she did. Went in the bathroom, poured some water over her head, and a couple weeks later, my sister told me, you know, she did.
Does that count?
I guess. I don't know. So we've got the winners here. Now we need to have the eighth graders come forward, Heidi and Aaron. So you guys need to stand up. Now, you guys stand there, but close your eyes. Close your eyes. We're going to be watching. Watch them. Close your eyes. Okay. You guys need to hide these chalices somewhere around the stage. And then you're going to help them find them by saying hotter, colder, hotter, colder. No, just up here.
Steer them to one or the other. Okay? So if you two will close your eyes again for a moment. All right? The one we're asking Heidi to look for is this one. Okay. And here's our, as we sing this refrain that expresses our wishes for these young people, you open your eyes again. When she gets closer, we sing softer. When she gets further away, even if turns away, we get louder. Understand the cues? Okay. The phrase is, it's graduation day, it's graduation day. We wish you all the best on your graduation day.
It's graduation day, it's graduation day. We wish you all the best on your graduation day. It's graduation day, it's graduation day. We wish you all the best on your graduation day. It's graduation day. It's graduation day. We wish you all the best on your graduation day.
It's graduation day.
It's graduation day. We wish you all the best
on your graduation day.
It's graduation day. It's graduation day. We wish you all the best on your graduation day. Graduation day,
graduation day.
We wish you all the best on your graduation day. Graduation day, graduation day. We wish you all the best on your graduation day.
Graduation day, graduation day.
Okay. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
You understand the cues, right? If we sing softer, you're getting closer. All right.
It's graduation day. It's graduation day. We wish you all the best on the graduation day. It's graduation day. It's graduation day. We wish you all the best on the graduation day. It's graduation day. We wish you all the best on the graduation day.
There's one that's a pin, and the other is a pen. You can open it if you wish. And as you're doing that, I'd like to read the symbolism of the chalice. Our use of the flaming chalice today as a symbol fits us quite well. It was first used by the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, but gradually has become regarded as a symbol for Unitarian Universalism in general. Many variations are seen in churches and fellowships around the continent, actually around the world. The basic part of our symbol, the chalice, or cup, has been used by older religious groups for many purposes, but often as a container from which everyone shares. And if you can see, it's a little chalice. You guys are very familiar with it. The Greeks used it as a symbol for wisdom and good fortune. With the oil in the chalice lit so that the flame appears, there is also a suggestion of a cross, which calls to mind our roots in the Christian heritage. Often the chalice is surrounded by a circle or ring, which is another very old symbol that has stood for unity of all peoples and immortality. And so, our symbol of the flaming chalice is symbolic of human uniqueness, our roots that are sunk deep in the soil of primitive folks' experience, as well as more recent cultural and religious traditions, and suggest the ongoing immortality of humankind. Congratulations. You may be seated for a quick moment here, because as religious this education director, this is the one opportunity that I get to thank the teachers that made this first year of my being here so wonderful. So what I'd like to do is, the teachers that are present, could you stand up? The teachers that taught this year, could you stand up? What I have in front of me is a certificate of appreciation that I got because I do really appreciate the effort. So I'm just going to quickly read your name and I want you to come up and get it. I'm going to do this real quick. Okay? Bob Park, you're right here. Cindy. Bob. Well, I guess that one. Randy. All right. Orange. Amy. And there are another half dozen more, I think, somewhere. Anyway, I'd also like to thank the people who did help with PACE this year, and so there's one of those two people that are here. Would you like to stand up? Thank you. Now, at Prairie, you know, everything is run so well by volunteers and that, and one of the coordinating elements are committees, and they're rarely acknowledged for their work as such. And I'd like to do that right now, is acknowledge three of the committee members are present right now, so I'd like to make sure that they get some recognition. So could you please stand up? Aaron, Dean, and Kathy. Demonstrate my appreciation for their help and support. And without them, I guarantee there would not have been religious education this year.
They also had a very good passage about growing up, so they did a good job finding those. And last year, I remember that Andrea memorized a very short but very appropriate poem for us. And this year, we have Aaron playing the electric guitar right now. We could sing while I play the other one. I'm set up. That little ditty we just learned? I'm tired of that.
By the way, anyone who decides to use something like that as a hide and seek activity at a party, feel free to create your own little verse to fit the situation. That's what we did here, and that's the way it works. Too well now.
All right, I'm going to play "Knocking on Heaven's Door" by Guns N' Roses.
Heidi does not play an instrument. so she doesn't get off quite as easily. And sometimes I think it's almost easier if people go up and play the piano, you know, and they're done with it. But she had to think of something else. And I remembered that she had read a book several years ago, Dear Mr. Henshaw by Beverly Cleary. And in it, this boy writes to an author, and he gets a couple of answers, and he writes a couple of times. Finally, the author says, you know, I'm really very busy. Why don't you pretend you're writing to me? You know, write me a letter, but don't mail it. In essence, he's trying to get him to do a diary. And so he does do that. He writes Dear Mr. Henshaw letters, and through that, we get a glimpse of this sixth grade boy's life. So I asked Heidi if she would like to give us a glimpse of an eighth grade girl's life. And so she has written some letters, Dear Mr. Henshaw. Now, if you're not loud, I'll make you use that microphone. I know you've got a cold, but people in the back, if you can't hear her, raise your hand.
Dear Mr. Henshaw, Sunday is our Y volleyball tournament. I think we'll play Ed's team. We've been hitting each other all week, saying each other team stuff. Dear Mr. Henshaw, my team never played Ed's team. We were in different pools. My parents and I were watching Ed's team for a little while, and Ed was playing bad. I felt bad watching him, so I said I was hungry and needed to get some food. Dear Mr. Henshaw, today I went shopping for my graduation dress with my mom. It wasn't fun because she's crabbing about how much she hates to go shopping. I had given up thinking I was going to find a dress because we'd gone to all the cool stores and I didn't like any. Then my mom talked me into looking at JCPenney, where she found a dress that I actually liked. And she likes it too, and it fits her. She says she gets borrowed rights because it costs $40 and I'll hardly ever wear it. I guess that's okay. It's long and sleeveless. It's a dark print. I hope it's warm the day of the dance. Dear Mr. Henshaw, yesterday at lunch, Abby started choking. She couldn't breathe. Then after she was okay, she started apologizing to everyone. Sarah asked her what she had choked on, and she said juice. Then the same thing happened to Kathy, who was sitting next to her. She choked on her pop. I gave my peanut butter and jelly sandwich to Joey. She loves my sandwiches. I had Karen's pretzels that are shaped like animals and a really nappy muffin from Amelie. And Kathy's homemade cookies that are really good. Sarah and Joe are always fighting over my vitamin and my Tums, which my mom makes me take with calcium. I got in trouble for accidentally starting a food fight. Cut and dry threw a carton of dill right in front of my face, so I threw it back and it hit Craig in the head. Then the whole table threw garbage and cans of pasta at us. Mrs. Nolan yelled at us and made us apologize to each other. She ate lunch at our table for the rest of the week. Mr. Pellegrino gave me lunch detention. Dear Mr. Henshaw, last night my dad and I went to the batting cages at 5:10. But then I didn't bat because there were too many people waiting for the meeting cage. After my dad batted, we went over to the driving range and I hit a golf ball for the first time. It was fun, but I think having to hold the club like that, with that weird grip is stupid. Why can't you just hold it like you hold a baseball bat? Dear Mr. Henshaw, I can't wait till school is over. Only 12 more days. I'm glad I'm on a softball team because then I'll know at least from my friends at games. My mom's making me take typing, but at least she talked Megan's mom into making Megan go too. We can ride the bus together. She said I can miss a week of typing when I go to volleyball camp, hopefully with a friend. But so far, I haven't convinced anyone to go with me. It's at UW-Whitewater, so I get to get out of Madison for a while. Dear Mr. Henshaw, do you know that the first day at West just the freshmen go in the morning? I think that's good. Then I can find my way around without having to worry about only kids making fun of me. I'm glad I'll go to West because I'll get to see Kate, my old friend who moved away from me and changed schools, and meet new friends. If I get Megan's mother as a gym teacher, it'll be really weird to have to call her Mrs. Refrigerator. But it would be even weirder for Megan. Will she call her own mother Mrs. Refrigerator?
Now, we have that world premiere that we were talking about before, and those people can come forward. And also, when planning these programs, it's sometimes very difficult to decide how long everything's going to take. And so I've got way too much in the program that we're never going to get to. But I want to explain what I wanted to do, and then you can decide whether we should do it or whether we should. So we're going to take a vote. We are nothing if not flexible and Democrats here. So I originally had thought that when we were through here, we would go around and introduce ourselves, because I know that there are people in this room that I've seen in Prairie before, but I've never actually heard their voice because I've never sat next to them or I've never had the occasion to speak with them. And I thought it would be nice if we actually heard everyone's voice here today. And so I was going to go around the room and have each person say their name, where they live, where they're from originally, and maybe something that, because the other thing is, I love Joyce's concern where Fran Bell is up and says that her story won a prize. I think that's great. I just love that. And so I thought we should perhaps all have an opportunity to do that and think of something that we've done that we're proud of that we could just quickly say. It could be something as simple as, I passed up that piece of cheesecake last night, or
I enjoyed that piece of cheesecake.
Or I helped a friend who was dying. But this could take a little while. And so you be thinking about it, and after we do our premiere, we'll take a vote as to whether we want to do that or not.
I'm just going to say a word about this. This is dedicated to the youth of Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. And we've had plans to help them. And you might be wondering how this came to be, how these might be dedicated to our youth right here. And well, musicians tend to have a habit, for better or for worse, of borrowing from each other. It's a tradition among musicians over the years. And so when I last spring, about this time, I was looking for some ideas for some words to set to a tune that I've written. And so I took a look through the Unitarian songbook, the new one. And of course, I didn't want to take the words out of songs because that's already been done. That would be bad. So I looked in the back for some readings, and I just tried to get a little inspiration from some of the readings. And the ones that spoke to me, that really seemed to be meaningful to me, all seemed to be advice. In other words, advice being given on how to live your life. And so I figured, okay, these words stick to me, so I'll use them, I'll elaborate on them, and add to them a little bit. So then I put the music and the words together, and then I started to think, well, who do I know who could use some advice? And of course it came to me, the youth of Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. And so, Barb and I thought that this might be an appropriate time to do this song. And I'd like to thank the choir, because they worked long and hard on this. And of course, especially our director, Mandy Lita, our musician, Karen. There were times when the rest of the choir weren't quite sure that this was going to work. I was confident the whole time that they could do it. Of course, I also want to thank your family for their support, and especially Orange. And if you want to look on the back of your notes, there's where the words are.
Here,
you're
like
this. Oh,
thank you.
flexible here. I still think it's a good idea to go around and have everybody speak. However, it's hot. So I'm going to give you three options here. The first option will be
where everybody can.
Right, we have a potluck too after this. The first option will be we skip to a song in the potluck. Second option will be we do what I propose and go around and have everyone introduce themselves, which could take quite a while. Three options could be we do a song, skip to the potluck, and sometimes we'll program where everyone So, option one, skip to the potluck. Raise your hand. Option two, introduce ourselves. I didn't think of it. We have some. Okay. Option three, song your potluck and do a program where we introduce ourselves and be proud of ourselves. Okay, that one wins. Now, I was going to include joys and concerns and announcements as we went around. If you had one of those, you could have said that too. So now you're not getting the opportunity. So if you want to do that now, joys and concerns or announcements. Okay.
The summer of the preschool people are not going to be here this summer. Okay? So people who have kids or would like to help people who do have kids provide child care, sign up all the Sundays and listen through the summer. And I would encourage you, if you do bring your kids, to sign up for one Sunday at least during the summer to help out and do child care downstairs so that people who do bring their kids have an option. So that's what that is going on.
Okay, let's do joys and concerns first and then announcements.
I have a joy. Ethel Radner, who was a member of First Unitarian Church some years back and has been moved west, at least with her, she had contracted rheumatoid arthritis in her 30s, which is terribly early. And she wrote up about how she cured herself. She's well. So if someone wants to know about this book, I'm going to put it up over here.
Dave?
We did finish our season planting trees, but we had so many problems and mechanical breakdowns that when I went to the prison to volunteer, I envied the inmates.
Recommend anyone go see it. It's by a disabled veteran.
but the overwhelming joy is Andrea's seventh novel. And if you want to take a look at chapter 17, the first paragraph, I'll just mention that up until 23 years ago, my name was Richard, and I was a medic in the Army in the early 60s, mid-60s in Europe, and I'm a nurse now. But this is Andrew's seventh novel, first one that I got printed. I am very happy.
Sure, half of Prairie has heard this because our family is so excited about it. But my nephew was nominated for 2 Tony Awards for the best musical score and the best book for a Broadway musical. And the musical is called what's funny?
Noah, please.
Oh, and the musical is called Bring On the Noise, Bring On the Funk. And it's been nominated for 9 awards.
This is taking almost as long. Katrina.
It was my birthday yesterday, and also Erin, her acronym is birthday, but she's not here right now. And she's 15, and I'm 12.
Years ago, my high school girlfriend and I bore a son. We were unprepared to raise ourselves. We found a family who was adopted. About 3 months ago, he and I began corresponding, and we learned a lot about each other, such are my joys. I have a concern because of the legal situation. We are as yet unable to make direct contact. Although I was able to decipher his handwriting, and I know his last name, he has an unlisted phone number. And we're vigorously trying to make contact before he leaves the country at the end of this month. Both of us, we've communicated that back and forth, but we have to go through this intermediary and written process of, you know, touching all those bases and following all those rules. My concern is I'd very much like to have a conversation with and perhaps even see my son, and I know he would like the same from his side of the equation, before he leaves. So whatever your personal belief system, if any and all energy and assistance you may toss into the cauldron so that we are able to connect by the end of the month, please feel invited and welcome to do that. Thank you very much.
Next Saturday will be our grandson Lucian's 4th birthday. And many of you know that Lucian was given up for adoption 2 years ago. And listening to Reed talk about this, it reminded me of our joy that our daughter was able to do this and our sorrow that we don't see him. But she heard a statistic last week that upset her. She heard that 1-2% of children look up their natural birth parents. So I say he's very fortunate, Reed, and I'm happy for you. And I hope that someday we'll be able to connect with our grandson.
I'm afraid to say this, but any announcements?
I want to ask people to help carry the plants outside since it's now summer.
Oh my God.
Celebrating Katrina's birthday yesterday was a very bittersweet day for us because we went to the funeral of my sister-in-law, Dean's brother's wife in Milwaukee, succumbed to cancer, and the memorial was yesterday. Katrina attended her first funeral on her 12th birthday. And in the morning, Dean ran the slip of mine, and despite the heat, made it all the way to Stokes, but we were waiting a long time for him. We were afraid he wasn't going to make it, so it was a very bittersweet day altogether. On the positive side, Eric wasn't sure if we'd announce that he's going to be a part of the Pentagon this summer.
Announcements, yes, last
month. Yeah, I printed up 50 copies of this schedule of our attendance during the year, and I listed all the services back to sometime in June last year and started taking the notice coming. And I ranked them by attendance I'd like you to rank them by how you enjoyed them. And for that, I have directions at the top of the page, but I'd like you to circle the 10 dates or the 10 favorite services, and then circle the titles of the top five, and then circle the number one position, the one person who enjoyed the most during the year. So I get some feedback and see what you like.
Any other help?
So these will be out on the table here as you're going out the door.
We have a board meeting tomorrow night here at Prairie at 7:30. If you're a member of the outgoing board or a member of the incoming board, you're encouraged to be here. We'll talk about what we're going to be doing in the projecting our plans for the coming year. I've got a couple of sign-ups that we're going to need people for lawn mowing. You can sign up or share a three-week stint on our lawn. And for the hospitality, we're going to need people to greet visitors and make coffee during the summer and encourage you to come. One other thing is Phil has a collection basket on intergenerational programs like this, but I'll have one in the back there in case you need to put your pledge in somewhere.
And we should probably put those sign-up sheets on the dessert table at the potluck.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But do stay for the potluck, too.
Can I add something that was followed on the sale? Because if everything works all right, we'll have a riding lawnmower for the lawnmower.
In the last Prairie Fire, I announced the Clay Breeders annual fish dinner play reading, but there was no location given. It will be at Francie's, and if anyone is interested in attending, I would like to get their reservation while we're here today. And anyone is welcome to come to Clay Breeders or not. If you'd like to just come to dinner, you can do that with us and then leave.
An idea for your consideration, that at the potluck, we find someone whose face is new or whose face we've seen and we haven't checked in with just yet, and through the course of the potluck, we introduce ourselves and make a new connection.
Yes. All right.
On the 23rd of June, I'll be giving the presentation at St. Jude's.
Great.
On masculinity interface.
Is that all? Are we done? Okay. To life. To life.